Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And it is truly a pleasure to be with you again on this day. I know it's been a while, but I am here today. And our co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes, is taking the day off. You know, she's been filling in for me a lot, and so that's what we do, you know, one for the other and one with each other. So we keep her in prayer, please. Continue to keep her in prayer, you know, for the demise of her father. And, you know, the family is still definitely going through, so we want to, you know, always remember her as we are praying throughout the day. Well, again, like I said, it's good. It's good to be back. It's good to be back. It's been something. It's been a time. I tell you, this year has been a year. It's been a year of a lot of trials, a lot of tribulation, a lot of things going on. It's been a very, very active year, a very active year. But we truly, again, thank God for the year, for what has gone on this far. We thank him because we have survived it all. We are here. We are here. Praise be unto God. We are here. So that in itself is a blessing no matter what. We are here. So I want to say good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to Tamika. Good morning to you, beloved. As always, you know, we love you desperately. And good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. Good morning to Joyce in New York. Morning to Prophetess Kim. Good morning to Deacon Banks. Good morning to Isaiah in Chicago. Good morning to Deacon Thomas Farr. Good morning to all of the New Vision members that join us on a regular basis. Good morning to you all. Good morning. And I do see where Minister Tabika joined in for a moment. So good morning to you, beloved. Good morning. It's good to see you here, as always. It's good to see you. So good morning to you. And
good morning.
To the rest. Good morning, darling. Good morning. To the rest of the our listening audience, you know, we do thank each and every one of you for being with us today. I had already asked you to keep Minister Tabika in prayer, but also her husband, who has bronchitis. Please keep him in prayer. We want to continue to lift up the body of Christ, lift up our loved ones as we are facing our daily challenges. So God bless you all, and good morning. We're going to go ahead and open in prayer and let God have his way on this day. Let him have his way on this day. Beloved, do you feel up to leading us in prayer, or I can do it, whichever one you want, honey?
Do it, please.
Pardon?
Can you do it, please?
Absolutely, sweetheart. Absolutely. You sound so sweet. Amen, amen. That's my baby, y'all. That's my baby. Can you do it, please? Oh, God bless you, darling. All righty. And yes, and just before I got on the air, I got a call at exactly 4 minutes till 9. I got a call that someone else that's close to us. Well, Minister Tabika doesn't know them, but close to me, that their father passed away. And that was at 9:04 that I got that call. You know, so like I said, this has been an interesting year. So we're going to go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just praise you. We honor you. We magnify your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, because you woke us up another day, Lord God. You brought us safely through the night, Lord God. Some got peaceful sleep. Some people did not sleep peacefully, Lord God. But however you saw fit, Lord God, to let the breath of life, Lord God, flow through us, Lord God, that we are able to say thank you and good morning. Lord God, we ask for forgiveness of sins for anything that we have done, Lord God, whether it was in word, thought, or deed. Lord God, even the sin of omission, Father. Lord, there's so much that we have to contend with on a daily basis, Lord God. And we do ask for forgiveness for the things, Lord God, that we don't handle right, that we don't do right. Father, I pray for a spirit of repentance on each and every one of us, that we come to the saving grace of realizing, Lord God, the things that we do wrong, Lord God, realizing, Father God, the things that we say wrong, realizing, Lord God, of how we treat others, Lord God, realizing that the things we do that come against you, Lord God, that, Father, that we need to repent from these things and turn away from them, Lord God, and come running back to you. Father, I pray for those that are sick, Lord God, physically. I bind up a spirit of affliction. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I bind up the spirit of affliction and infirmity in the name of Jesus. For it is by your stripes that we are healed. And I praise your name, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, is truth. We are healed, O God, because of the sacrifice, the shed blood of Jesus at the cross. We are healed, Lord God, and I do thank you for this. Lord God, I thank you, and as I pray for those that are mentally and emotionally unstable, Lord God. Father, you know the things that torment us. You know those things, Lord God. You know the things, Father God, that has caused others even to end up in mental institutions. Those, Lord God, whose emotions are so wrecked, oh Lord God, that it's difficult for them to get through a day without some form of trauma, Lord God. Father, I ask you to touch, heal, deliver, and set free. Minister angels, come forth and minister and protect and shield. Holy Spirit, rise up within us, O God, that we could be, Lord God, all that you have called us to be. Rise up within us, Holy Spirit. Truly, 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 we want to really submit ourselves wholly unto God. We want to be who it is that he has called us to be. And those things that stand in the way, those things that we have been deceived by, those people even, Lord God, that we have been deceived by, Father God, I ask you, Lord, to remove all of these things from our lives. And as you are removing them, Lord, we submit and we relinquish these things, Father, so that they would no longer, Lord God, have the effect on us that they have. We must remember, oh God, that the enemy comes in, Lord God, and he comes, Lord God, to deceive us and to destroy. Lord, may we walk in a spirit of discernment that we know the difference, Lord God. Father, I thank you that even as Minister Tabika ministered last week on discerning the voice of God, that we truly do discern his voice, your voice, Lord God, that we discern your voice, that we know when you're saying yea and when you're saying nay, Lord God. We know this when you are the one that's leading and guiding us, Father, and that we won't listen to other voices, Father. Your word tells us that your sheep knows your voice, O God. Father, may we all be attentive to your voice and then not just hear your voice, O God, but be obedient to what it is that you're saying, Father, that we would be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Lord God, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for every single person on this line, that every need that they have, you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and you provide all of our needs. And then your word says that you give us the desires of our heart. But those desires are the desires you place within us. They're not our fleshly desire, O God, but the desire that you placed in us is why, Lord God, that you can give us the true desires of our heart. Father, again, I thank you. I ask you to lead us and to guide us. Order our steps, Lord God, according to your word. Order our conversation, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, even today in this lesson, Father, Holy Spirit, I ask you to have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Somebody receive a revelation as we go through this word today, Lord God. May somebody be healed from it, Lord God. May somebody repent, Father God, in the name of Jesus. May someone be restored, Father, in the name of Jesus, because of your word. Lord God, I thank you and I honor you. I bless your holy name, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor in your dear son's name. Amen and amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God, praise God. Thanks to God, I do again thank the Lord for being with you this morning. I have missed y'all, and I know I keep saying that. excuse me. I keep saying that, and because I truly do, my heart is heavy this morning. It's heavy, and I hate that the fact that the first time I'm back on the air with you, you know, that I'm coming with a heavy heart, but my heart is heavy this morning. So I do ask you, you know, to bear with me and to share with me as we go into what we're speaking about today. Now, what I'm going to be dealing with is temptation. all of us at one time or another have been tempted, you know, whatever it is that you are tempted by, that's what you were tempted by. We all have dealt with it. And the biblical definition in dealing with temptation is being in a situation in which one experiences a challenge to choose between fidelity and infidelity to one's obligation towards God. So fidelity or infidelity, that's being faithful and being honest before God or dishonest, doing things that we're not supposed to do. And it doesn't have to always be, when we say fidelity, thinking of things sexually. It's anything that would come against the word of God, anything and anybody that we would put before God, that is where we have, we were committing infidelity when we put things and people before God. And so when we look at it, you know, back in the 60s, I believe it was, I'm not quite sure. I don't remember the exact year, but the 60s or the 70s, back in that time, there was a very famous saying that was going on, and we contributed all to Flip Wilson. Flip Wilson was the one that coined this statement, and that statement is, the devil made me do it. Every time he did something wrong, every time he did something wrong, he would say, the devil made me do it. excuse me. So, and what anything that he did wrong, it was because of temptation that was before him. And he would choose which one he would do, the right thing or the wrong thing. And when he did the wrong thing, you know, he would say, the devil made me do it. Well, one thing for sure, Paul in the Bible reminds us that there are three sources of our temptation. One is the world. Two is our flesh, and three is the devil. These are the three places where we get our temptations. We want to look at, right at this moment, the devil as that source of temptation. The devil, presents to us all kinds of things. He's our enemy. He puts before us those things that he knows that we have a weakness for. And he does this without care. He doesn't care how it affects us, how if we do what it is that we're being tempted by, how that's going to affect somebody else. He has no care in the world. The devil is truly our enemy, and he is not concerned about those things. The devil is cunning. He is committed to his cause. He's very cold-blooded. And in Genesis 3:1, the Bible tells us that the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that God made. The devil, y'all, is very clever. He's very clever. But we know, according to the word of God, that we are not ignorant to his schemes. We are to be aware of the wiles of the enemy. We are to be aware of the tricks that he pulls and the things that he tempts us with. We are supposed to be aware of those things. And as we study the word more, as we become more familiar with God, it'll be so much easier to identify that this is a temptation from Satan. This is a trick of the enemy, and I do not have to succumb to it. Also, besides him being cunning, he's also very committed to the cause. He's very, very committed. In the word, it speaks about when the devil tempted Jesus, on the mountain after he came back out of the off his fast. After he came back off of his fast, the devil to Jesus, and after he tempted him, the devil took a break. Do you hear me? He took a break to wait for another opportunity to go back and tempt him again. In other words, the devil is committed to tempting us. He's not discouraged because you didn't give in the first time. That does not discourage him. He continues to do it. He comes back again and again and again in order to get you, either blindside you or have you in a place where your flesh is so thirsty for what it is that he's tempting you with that you end up giving to it. See, when we talk about giving in to our flesh, that's things we see, things we smell, things we taste, things we touch, and that would be with our feelings, things that we are emotionally moved by. These are ways that he uses our flesh to tempt us. It can be in a sexual manner. It could be like for me, it's food. I see macaroni and cheese, and trust me, I want to eat it. But before I see it normally, I can smell it. Again, I'm being lured to that place of the macaroni and cheese. Somebody else, it could be a drink. Somebody else, it could be any other type of food. Somebody who has a sweet tooth, they're lured towards towards eating the chocolate and so forth and so on. So there are all kinds of things that tempt us. And our five senses, when we're looking at our flesh, our five senses is what's used into temptation or to be tempted by these things. The devil also is very cold-blooded, very, very cold-blooded. I mentioned the fact that he has no sympathy. He doesn't care for us. He doesn't care for other people. He behaves in a very cruel way. He behaves in a very cruel way. what is our adversary. He prowling around like a roaring lion looking for somebody that he can devour. He is not our friend, and yet so many of us befriend him. And did you hear what I say? He's not our friend. He does not care one iota about either one of us, yet we will befriend him. We will open up our hearts. We will open up our doors. We will open up anything that we have and invite him in to come on in and take a seat. And this is us that are saved, sanctified. And we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we will let the enemy in, and we do so voluntarily. Sometimes, you know, we're not tricked into it. We make conscious decisions on doing the things that we do. excuse me. So then you may ask, well, what is the big deal with giving in to temptation? Well, the big deal about giving in to temptation is the fact that the temptation that we give in to, it leads to sin. Phew, help me, Holy Jesus. It leads to sin. And when it leads to sin, sin leads to death. Now, you hear me saying, you know, we think it's no big deal, okay, when we give in to that thing that tempts us. But when I'm telling you it leads to sin and the sin leads to death, let me give you a prime example where one may not think about. I told you I'm a foodie, okay? That's what I'm tempted by. All right, so now let's look at this. I've been diagnosed. I won't claim that I am, but I have been diagnosed with and I'm being treated for diabetes, okay? So now, I can eat whatever it is I want to eat. That's my choice. I eat whatever I want to eat. Or I eat healthy. I eat according to what it is my body can actually handle. Those things I shouldn't eat, I shouldn't eat. Those things that I can eat, I should eat them and enjoy them and so forth and so on. All right, so now, when I don't eat properly, and I eat my macaroni and cheese, and then I go from just having a taste of it to overindulging, which is gluttony. Gluttony is sin. And besides that, when I'm eating the macaroni and cheese, it causes my glucose level to go high, which can actually lead to a physical death. Okay, not just a spiritual death, a physical death. So when we say that temptation, falling into temptation, causes us to fall into, so leads to death, it leads to physical death as well as a spiritual death. And I use the one for food because somebody may not think about the fact of food being able to cause us to die physically. But for a diabetic, it could cost them their lives. Giving into temptation gratifies us in a moment, but it brings on a repercussion that we will regret. Our relationship with God is negatively impacted by this. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities are separating you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face so that he does not listen. We also at times bring harm to ourselves emotionally, mentally, physically, and financially, to ourselves and to others, when we sin. Saints of God, I can't tell you how important it is that, excuse me, we do our best to adhere to what the Word of God tells us and not to fall into sin. If we remember this song, yield not to temptation, but yielding is sin. Yield not to the temptation, for the yielding is sin. Being tempted is not sin. All will be tempted. Jesus was tempted. That wasn't sin. It's when we yield to it, when we give in to it, that is the sin. That is the sin. We fall into temptation of drugs, the sex, food, like I said, anything. People have gambling issues, you know, will fall into temptation. So you say, well, Apostle, okay, I hear you. I get it. There's a lot of stuff around me. The world offers us grandiose fame and fortune and status and all kinds of things that the world has to offer us, and we give up what it is God wants us to do. We give up living a holy and righteous life because we desire those worldly things. We desire it. Who doesn't want to be the world-renowned speaker or preacher, those of us that are in the ministry? Who doesn't want to be known all over the world as the one that has the greatest healing and deliverance ministry? Again, I'm speaking to those that are in ministry. Who doesn't want to be known as the CEO or the president of some conglomerate, some large corporation that's bringing in billions of dollars a year, and not only bringing in billions, but you're making at least one of those billions yourself? Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want, you know, the fine houses and the cars? And, of course, see, all of us, we all don't want the same thing. You know, that's why there's so many different types of temptations. We all don't want the same thing. But no matter who you are, no matter what status you are, no matter what your educational level is, no matter what your financial or economic status is, no matter what, there is something that you are tempted by, something that you are tempted by. And the enemy knows exactly what it is to put before us. He knows exactly what it is to put before us. There are people on this line that may be tempted, that may be in your past life, may have been tempted because you were a drug addict. And so you were tempted by the drug. You got saved. You got delivered. Satan is going to think that because you were addicted to those drugs, that he can come back to you bringing a situation where you would be tempted again by the drug. The man that and woman is tempted by alcohol. You got off of the alcohol. You stopped it. You've been clean for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever the case may be. And then something happens that causes you to pick up a drink. And before you know it, you're back where you were, back where you started. That temptation, that weakness, that thing that your body longed for, you remember the taste of it, the smell of it, all of that. Same thing with, you know, again, going to the food. Anything that takes us out of the realm of being obedient to God, anything that we are tempted with, beloved, that takes us out of the realm of being obedient to God. I don't care what your title is. I don't care, you know, where you live. I don't care how much money you have. If you come against what it is the Father says, you are operating in sin. You are operating in sin. So now we say, okay, so you've told us what the problem is. How do we fix this thing? How do we make it right? What do I need to do? Well, one of the things is to reconcile with God through Jesus Christ. Reconcile with God. The freeing power of Jesus converts us from being slaves to sin to slaves to righteousness. If we have not accepted Christ, any of us, if there's anyone on this line who has not accepted Christ, I encourage you to accept him into your life and submit to him. Because after we have accepted him, this will serve as a reminder of the saving grace of Jesus, and it enables us to resist the devil's temptation. It enables us to do so. That's why we can't always say, thanks to God, that the devil made us do it. Because when we are submitted to God and to his word, the devil can't present it to us. And we decide within ourselves that, yes, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm choosing to do, this because I'm craving this, because it makes me feel good. It makes me look good. It brings me joy. All of those things, it does something for me. For me, it does something for me. Even when you're doing something that looks like it's a blessing for someone else, you're doing it for selfish reasons. You're doing it for you. You're doing it for you because of the joy that you get out of it, the pleasure that you get out of it. Reconcile, first of all, with God through Jesus. Then read the word of God. If we're going to stand against the devil's temptation, we must regularly read the word of God. And I do mean regular, saints of God. I'm not saying that you have to pick up the Bible every single day and read it. It is good if you do. It will be more strength to you if you do, definitely. However, if you still read your word on a regular basis, on a regular basis, and meditate upon what the word says, think about what the word says, you will find yourself responding to the word of God. You will find yourself in a place the minute temptation comes to you, as you have read the word, as you've meditated on it, as you've got in your heart, as you renewed your mind by the word of God, that once you have done this, then when temptation comes up to you, you see it, you identify it quickly, and you say, no, 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 not here and not today. I am no longer a slave to that thing. I'm no longer a slave to alcohol, drugs, food, sex, status, educational. I'm not a slave to this anymore. I'm not a slave to this. The Bible keeps us away from sin, however, from the Bible. See, when you're sinning, you have no desire to read the word of God. You have no desire to be in the presence of God. You do like Adam and Eve did. They ran and they tried to hide themselves, knowing, and they should have known more than any of us, that God is everywhere and he's all-knowing. But we have the tendency to try to hide from him so that he doesn't know what it is that we're doing. Beloved, there's nothing that we can do to be out of the sight of God. David said in the Psalms that if I make my bed in heaven, God will find me there. He said if I make my bed in hell, God will find me there. There's nowhere, nowhere, nowhere to hide from God. There's no place that we could go where we would be hiding from God. He sees us with every single thing that we do, all that we commit to, and he sees us when we stick to the word and do what it is we're told to do. One of the other ways of now, remember, we're reconciling to God, through Jesus. We're reading his word. Another way of helping us through this is to remember God's word through memorization. You cannot and will not, even though I know that there are some absolute super geniuses who have memorized almost the entire Bible, have memorized it. But we can't on in our natural sense memorize the whole Bible. But there are certain scriptures that will minister to you that you ought to memorize so that it will hold you together. It will hold you together. One of the easiest ones that I know that I hung on to real quick in my early days was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I memorized that. I needed that so many times. When I counted myself as not good enough to do something or unable to do something, and something that I was qualified to do, something that I knew how to do, but I was doubting myself. And then I remembered the word that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As we memorize the word of God, in Psalms 119, verse 11, the word says, and this is coming from David again, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against thee. So that I may not sin against thee. So, beloved, when we have the word of God in our heart, we're in a place that we are being reminded daily. We're being reminded from the word that we have in our heart. When these things come up, it says, flashlight, flashlight, this is sin, don't do it. And we don't do it because it comes against what? It comes against the word of God. And you've got the word in your heart. You've got the word in your heart. One of the other things that we do to help us not to get into that place of yielding to our temptation is recognize our areas of weakness. That there are many vices into which we can fall, but not every vice equally tempts each person. Like, I'm one of those people that you cannot tempt me to steal. I have no desire to steal, just absolutely none. And the times that I have stolen, and I will explain that, the times that I have stolen, I wasn't thinking about the fact that it was actually thievery. Now, let me give you the first one, which is very innocent, very innocent. When I lived in New York, down at the corner, there was a corner store. Mr. Hall was the name of the man that owned the store, and I was like 6, 7 years old. And in the store, you know, they had all these jars. I don't know if they had them all, or candy jars. They had the candy jars, all these penny candies in these jars. Also, he had on the counter above the candy jars, he had pamphlets up there. And there were the little holders for the different pamphlets. And on the front of the pamphlet, it's take one. So we were supposed to take one of the pamphlets out of there. Well, as it turned out, all of the pamphlets were gone. And when I went down to the store, the one, what do you call those holders, are sitting on the shelf exactly right above the candy jars. So, you know, I happily helped myself. I took a piece of candy out of every single jar. I took a piece of candy. And Mr. Hall saw me taking the candy, and this was after I had purchased whatever it was my mother sent me down there to the store for, after I purchased it, because all of this is near the door, and I stopped and I took a piece of this candy, the squirrel nuts and the whatever else it was that he had in there, I took a piece, and I was heading out of the store. And Mr. Hall said, sweetheart, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm going home. What do you mean, what am I doing? But you're stealing. You took candy from there. You have to pay for that. And I said, no, Mr. Hall, it says take one. And I only took one of each, I promise. And I showed him that I only took the one of each. And the poor man laughed, and he said, darling, that wasn't meant for the candy. He said, but I can see that you honestly didn't know. Take the candy you got and go ahead. And he let me go. You know, honest mistake, but it was stealing, and I didn't know that I was stealing, okay? So that was one of the ways. Again, I wasn't tempted to steal. I thought I was doing what the sign said to do. So then there's the time, of course, when I worked in the office and doing clerical work and so forth and so on. And see, and almost that has worked in an office has done this. And I know we don't see it as stealing, but thanks to God, it is still stealing. How many times have we taken the rubber bands home, the pens and the pencils from our job, we've taken them home? Those are not our property. It belongs to the company. But we freely, and whether we want to admit it or not, that's stealing. It's not, like I said, the big thing that's going to cause you to go to jail. Your boss is not going to press charges against you. But whenever you are taking something, and you didn't borrow it, because you had absolutely no intentions of bringing it back. So you didn't borrow it. You took it without permission. That is stealing. So those are the type of stealing, if I'm stealing that I would do. But Satan could never tempt me to rob a bank. He could never tempt me if I'm in somebody's house and I see money lying around to steal somebody's money. He could never tempt me of going someplace and seeing something that belonged to somebody, and I take that thing because I wanted it, and they're not looking, so I take it. But I already told you what he can tempt me with. There are a couple of other vices that I have that I could be tempted with. What are the vices that you have? See, you have to recognize your weakness. And when you recognize your areas of weakness, then you can pray against those things. You can, and when I say things, beloved, not only things, oh, help me, Jesus, you can pray against those people. And maybe I shouldn't say against those people. You need to pray for the people that bring temptation into your life, and they do it because they know what your weakness is. They do it on purpose. The people that provoke weaknesses in you, we need to pray about that. We need to ask God to deliver us from those people. We need to realize that somewhere along the line, they mean us no good. Because they know, especially if they know that you are Christian, if they know that you're a Christian, and they continuously bring before you something that you're going to fall in temptation to. And I'm not going to say, let me try to fix that. When I say they mean you no good, And again, I just like to use myself because I don't want to put anybody else's stuff in here. When people make food for me, and if they're aware of my circumstances and they make food for me, they're doing it not because they don't care about me. They're doing it because they're trying to please me. Okay? They're not somebody that I got to ward off and say, oh, my God, I can't ever be around you again because you don't respect the fact that I have diabetes and you're trying to kill me. No, they're doing it because they do love me and they want to please me. However, the greater sign of the greater love is to say, Apostle, I love you. I love you a lot, and I know you want this macaroni and cheese, but I'm not going to sit here and let you eat this because they'll see me, you know, trying to eat something that somebody else makes. I'm not going to sit here and let you eat this, not on my watch. That's the greater love. Taking the chance that I might offend them or be offended. I might hurt their feelings of telling them, look, you can't tell me what I can eat and so forth and so on. You got no authority over me. I'll eat what I want to eat. And that might hurt their feelings. But all they were doing was trying to protect me and my life. So you see where one made the food for me because they love me, and that's their level of love. The other one that loves me as much, if not more, is saying, I'm not giving this to you. I'm not giving this to you. So you have to know what your weaknesses are, beloved. You have to guard against those weaknesses. You've got to pray. Ask God to reveal those things to you that are tempting you in case you do not know what they are. Now, just when I, thank you, Holy Spirit, mentioned the dealing with the macaroni and cheese, the one that said, I'm not going to let you eat this. Part of the way of us getting away from the temptation is relying on the relationship with other believers. Relying on the relationship with other believers. God created us to live in a community, and not just in the community that you physically live in, but in a community of people. Those that are Christians, we have a Christian community, one with the other we live in. Take it to the fraternities, the brothers of the Q community, the Deltas, that's a community. So trying to avoid temptation and so forth, we need to rely on the relationship with other believers. Galatians 6:2 tells us, carry one another's burden, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So you find someone that you can trust with confidentiality and be vulnerable with them, an accountability partner, and ask them to help you with specific weaknesses. Ask them to hold you accountable to a godly lifestyle. We know that the church is filled with people who are looking at pornography, doing it all the time, every day, as often as they can. And because they, quote, unquote, do it in secret is not seen, you know, they think that they're getting away with something. But it ends up destroying them. It destroys their family, their children, and so forth. So then as a Christian and you're asking God to deliver you from this thing, you admit to someone that you can trust, someone that you can trust, someone in confidentiality. Listen, I have a problem with pornography. I have a problem with it. And ask them to be your accountability partner. But now when you ask someone to be an accountability partner, you must be faithful, and because they're going to ask you, have you done this? You've got to tell them the truth. They will be praying for you. You tell them the truth, and so that you can overcome this thing. If you are married and this is going on in your home, share with your spouse. I almost said share with your wife, but then that's under the assumption that it's only the man that has the pornography issues. Women have issues with pornography as well. It's only spoken about so much more with the man. But women have issues with it too. You share that with your spouse. Then your spouse should together, hear me, saints of God, I can't tell you how important this is. Your spouse and you then, she or he, has to do this. Put code on the computer at home so that you can't visit those sites. There should be a lock of some sort that you can put on your phone to keep you from going to those sites. There are all kinds of apps to help prevent you from going to pornography. And you've got to come to the place where you say, okay, do it. Do it. And I mean, I know of a couple where they had to do this in their home, and one day the man got totally frustrated because he could not get into the computer and do this thing, and he yelled and screamed and fussed about it, just like the drug addict that's trying not to take that hit of heroin, and they're screaming and telling you that I'll kill you if you don't give it to me, when their spouse have taken it. It gets that bad. It gets that bad. Thanks to God, we must rely on each other to keep each other, to keep each other honest and faithful. Then understand that if we have fallen into temptation recently, the good news is we don't have to stay there. Praise be unto God. There is a restoration for us in Christ Jesus. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it to do that. If we confess our sins. Let's look to the power of Christ to resist the devil's temptation. Let's repent from our sinful ways and renew our commitment to living a life that is pleasing unto God. Beloved, when we do this, we can live a holy and righteous life, and one that does not temptation or yield to temptation. See, sometimes we fall into temptation. Others, we yield into temptation, but we just don't give in to it. We don't give in to it. Again, it's because we desire so much to please God. We have the word in us. We are convicted by the Holy Spirit. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we can live a life according to what God says. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And God never asked us to be anything that he did not equip us to be. So, beloved, to all of you holy saints of God, to all of you precious beloved of God, to all of you who are listening here live and who will come back and listen online, to all of you, Jesus said, I'd never put before you, or there would never be a temptation before you where a way of escape has not been made. There is a way of escape, and I just gave you some of the ways that you could overcome the temptation. The other thing is, when it says that there's no temptation that is I wish I had, that's one that I need to memorize, and I don't have it memorized. But there's no temptation that is put before us that God didn't make a way of escape for us. There's not one temptation that he didn't make a way of escape for us. And where we come to dealing with that is Jesus is the way. He's the truth. And the light. He is the way. That's how we get out of what tempts us. He is the way. So, beloved, I pray that what you've heard today did something to you. I pray it did something to you. Pray that it did. And I'm praying your blessings and your success in Christ Jesus. I am praying your blessings and your success in Christ Jesus. Remember that the victory has already been won. We win in the end. We win. We win. We let Satan tear us apart from our loved ones. We let him tear us apart from the body of Christ. We just let him just rip and roar through our lives, because we walk in weakness instead of in the strength that God has given us. Be strong, saints, and faint not. Be strong. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in this world. All right. That's all I have to share with you today. I thank you so very much for joining me today. Prayerfully, we will be back again on next Saturday, and Minister Tabika will be with us, and we'll have a joyful time in the Lord with whatever it is that he's bringing forth to us. And I know that this was kind of solemn to a degree, but in the end, there's victory. There is victory in the end. So praise be unto God. Again, I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Beloved, go forth, rejoice, and be glad in it. But be glad. Be glad. So may you have joy over and over and over again. I love you with all my heart. But remember, no matter how much I love you, know that
thank
God
you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.